to the Crosspoint Podcast, a listener support ministry of Crosspoint Alliance Church. Hi, I'm Pastor C, and it is a joy that you're joining us today. God has a special message for you. We want to encourage you to take some notes, but most of all, to open your heart. God wants to speak to you.
Very simple message. If you could turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 1. While you're turning, I think it is Luke, yes. I know last time I preached, I gave like four different scripture verses, and none were the one we actually read. I was pointed out that afterwards. And so it is Luke chapter 1, I promise. And while you're turning there, I grew up in northern Pennsylvania, and I grew up going to a Catholic church. I'm from an Italian Catholic family, and that was the whole town. If you followed Jesus, you were in a Catholic church. If you weren't in the Catholic church, the understanding was you were outside of the faith, and you know you were going to go to hell. And it was basically that was the understanding I grew up with. And I remember though going every Sunday to Mass, and my dad would play guitar in the balcony sometimes, and they would do weddings in the church and stuff like that, and. The one thing that I remember growing up, I went to Catholic school for 2 years as well. And in the Catholic Church, Mary is viewed very highly. Very highly. And when the Protestantism came in and broke away, there were some things that needed to be changed. And that Martin Luther came in and gave his thesis and said, yes, these are wrong. What? Martin Luther. Did I say king? See? This is my life. I don't even know what's coming out of my mouth. Right? Martin Luther King Jr., when he was, no, back in, anyhow, thank you, honey, for clarifying. There were some very necessary changes that need to be made. But sometimes, just like in our lives, sometimes, because we're rejecting something, we swing so far the other way to not even want to touch that because, well, that's wrong, so we got to stay way over here. And the pendulum swings way over here, and we never even talk about it. And one of those people in Scripture that I believe that has happened so much to is Mary. Because while Mary is not necessary as an intercessor to go to God by any way, shape, or form. In our push away from that, I believe the Protestant church has placed her as, oh yeah, Mary. Yeah, you know, that lady. And we forget that this was Mary, the mother of Jesus. That is quite the person in Scripture. And today, I wanted us to read the story of Mary, of when she was told that she was going to have this baby Jesus. And we're going to look at her response, because I believe her response speaks volumes about who she was. But it also speaks volumes of what God has called us to be, and it speaks of the very foundation of what our faith and our relationship with Christ can be. And I believe that as we enter this Christmas season, at least in my life this week, as I prepare, that's why I believe God has given me the gift of being allowed to preach, because he speaks to me as I prepare for the sermons. And so it's a joy to get to preach, because it allows me to be changed in a greater way, I think, because God knows I need a lot of work. And so if you turn with Luke chapter 1, verse 26. And if you could stand with me as we read. Since this is the word of God, we'll stand up together. Luke chapter 1, verse 26. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, and the descendants of the descendants of David. and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was very perplexed at this statement and kept pondering what kind of salutation this was. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I'm a virgin?" The angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, and for that reason, the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God. And behold, even your relative Elizabeth, who has also conceived a son in her old age, and she who was called barren is now in her sixth month, for nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, the bondslave of the Lord, may it be done to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Lord, we come again to you, and we thank you for your scripture. We thank you for your word, and we thank you that you came as a little baby, Lord, to provide the way for us to be in relationship with God. We thank you. Lord, I pray that our hearts today may become more like this young woman, Mary, who said, "I, the bondservant of the Lord, may it be done according to your word." Lord, I pray that you may do that today in us, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, have a seat. You can have a seat. Let's look at this scripture. See, we can forget. Here's Mary. She's a young girl. We don't know exactly how old she was. 13, maybe 16, 14, in that area, we're not sure. And I love in the beginning of this, in this section, it says the sixth month, it says an angel, Gabriel, was sent and from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph. At this time, there were probably, who knows how many young girls that were betrothed to be married. I don't know why. I cannot argue today and tell you why God chose Mary fully. But I believe her reaction to the message that she was given speaks volumes of who she was. And I love this. It says Gabriel showed up to this girl, this virgin, who was betrothed to be married. And then it says, and the virgin's name was Mary. Now, I've skipped over that for years. But this week, it struck me of how often that happens in Scripture. There were hundreds, thousands of young maidens, young virgins at that time. And God chose to reveal the name of one. And he called her Mary. He told us who she was. This is who this girl is. There were hundreds of young boys back in Israel when they were looking for a new king. And God revealed the one, David. And to this day, we all know David. David and Goliath from last week. David. And his name was raised up above other names at that time. There were many other young virgins, none of whom we know their names. Not one. Maybe they were from bigger, higher families. Maybe at that time they had greater names than this young girl. Maybe at that time they were better well known. Maybe they had better education, better titles. Who knows? Maybe they had better family lineage. We don't know. But we know that God, when he chose one, he found this girl and he said, "Oh, her name was Mary." See, we live in a society that everyone is trying to make a name for themselves. When in reality, all that matters is that when all is said and done, maybe, just maybe, God may say, "Rachel. Oh, I know Rachel. This is who she is." Or maybe God will, in his great sovereignty, in the midst of everyone, may say, oh, I know Angela. Because that is all that matters. And that's what stays in Scripture. Those whom God named for us to hear about today. And I believe that's so important, even before we get into the actual sermon. When I read that, the idea that all around us, even look at YouTube, look at Facebook, we place ourselves out there because what I'm doing is important. Who am I is important. I want to be known. And we live in a society that everything we do tries to make our name for ourselves. And here is this girl. And I say, God, why did you choose her? Look at the greeting. Gabriel says, greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you. Now, I can tell you that if that greeting was given to many, many current believers in America, they would be very excited, and many of us might be too, and say, oh, yeah, I'm a favored one of the Lord. And we would claim that favor and say, yes, I'm favored. I belong to him. Look at Mary's reaction. It says, but she was very perplexed at this statement. She was confused by this and kept pondering what kind of greeting this was. What does that reveal about Mary? Favored one, blessed of the Lord. What? Oh, me? You see her heart. She didn't even understand that greeting. It did not compute in her brain. How beautiful is that? How many, myself included, we think by what we do, what we've done, our education, our accomplishments, our service, the amount of blankets we bring, it doesn't matter. We are attempting to gain the Lord's favor. Or somehow thinking, well, I'm favored of the Lord. I've followed him for the last, I came to Christ when I was 15. I've been following the Lord for 22 years. Lord, it's so good to know you. It's so good to be with you. But inside, you understand, I'm getting at things that I can't really speak with words here. Inside, in my own heart, if God came to me and said, Matthew, favorite of the Lord, I'd say, yes, here I am. Yikes. I might just be among the unnamed. But here's Mary, this young girl, highly favored, blessed are you. What? I'm just a girl. And that's the heart that he chose to bring his son through. All of us, we need to grow down in order for the Lord to raise us up. Because look at her. We go through that whole thing. I won't read the whole scripture again. But look at the ending. So she goes on, she says, why, you know, how can this happen? And he explains how it's going to happen. The Holy Spirit's going to come upon you and everything. And verse 38 is where the crux of the morning is going to be. And Mary said, behold, the bond slave of the Lord. Some of your scriptures will say handmaiden of the Lord, servant of the Lord, whatever it may be. The bond slave of the Lord, may it be done to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. That word bond slave in the Greek, it means it was the lowest term that could be given for a slave. So here's this young girl, just had this amazing greeting, says you are going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's going to come upon you. You're going to give birth to the Savior of the world. Her response is, I'm the lowest slave of the Lord. Whatever you want, be it unto me according to your word. In that moment, in that phrase, we hear the heart of Mary. And I believe that was the very heart that allowed God to purely bring his son into this world. And that is the heart that as we enter this Christmas season, I believe that that is to be our reminder of what the very foundation of our relationship with Christ must be. Because it is so easy to forget that beginning moment. How many of us came, when we came to Christ, we were broken. We were broken at the foot of the cross. And we said, I am nothing. That we realized we deserved wrath and we had nothing. And then God came and he brought salvation. And he allowed us to be in relationship with him. But so often we can walk with the Lord for so long and we forget that the very foundation is one of humility. See, that words, that the word she said, behold, the bondservant of the Lord, be it unto me according to your word. That sets the standard for every relationship with the Lord that any one of us have. It's the very standard from which our relationship can begin with the Lord and continue with the Lord. Why do I say it's a standard? Because our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ had the same interaction with his Father in the Garden of Gethsemane. Remember when he's about to go to the cross, the very reason for which he came. Jesus said, Lord, take this cup from me, but not my will, your will be done. Think about what this meant for Mary. The Holy Spirit is going to come upon her, and it sounds wonderful. It sounds amazing. She's going to give birth to the Savior of the world. Woo! But think about this girl was a virgin, never been with a man. She's betrothed to Joseph. So not only, not now she's going to be pregnant, has to go talk to Joseph and explain this to him. He was going to have the option of stoning her because he didn't believe her, or thankfully, he had a dream, and he ends up believing her. I believe God probably had Joseph in mind, too. We could read Matthew about his heart, and I encourage you to do that when as we're going through the Christmas season. But this was not, Mary, there were so many things going through this young girl's mind. Obviously, there should have been, at least if I was in her position. What does this mean? What is this going to happen in my life? What is going to happen to me? I don't even understand this. This is insane. This is crazy. What's happening? Her response, I'm your servant. Be it unto me according to your word. That's the foundation. That's the foundation. And that is the foundation that I personally so quickly forget. And that's when I fall on my face. We cannot forget that foundation. Jesus Christ in the garden, I already said, he says, not my will, your will be done. Think of how crazy that statement is. He's God himself. If ever the wills were the same, it was at that moment. But I believe he did that for an example to us as well. Take this cup from me, but not as I will, but as you will. This is the foundation. Why is this important as the foundation? Because if we remember who God is and our place before him, all of a sudden it sets up our relationship to be one that can be exactly as God has destined it to be. Philippians chapter 2. I'm talking about Mary, but think about what Philippians chapter 2 says. It raises up an example for us to follow. Verse 5. Have this attitude, chapter 2, verse 5, in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant. Remember that word? Mary, his mother, understood that. And being made in the likeness of men, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. For this reason also, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, remember the name? At the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Jesus himself, if there was ever someone who could consider equality with God something to be grasped, it's Jesus. And Jesus himself took the form of a servant, not my will, but your will be done, humbled himself. And it's the same principle for you and I that want to have this life-giving relationship with Jesus. But we live in a society in which a relationship with Jesus is something claimed from up here. Jesus, you need to come to me. Jesus, you need to be added to my life, instead of one that comes down from here that says, Jesus, I have no reason to even be allowed to come to you. There's a song that came out years ago, and we different places sings it. It's called a song called I Am a Friend of God. This is the, when I think of an example of what can happen to a truth in Scripture and how quickly it can be twisted, it's that song. And I'm not saying, I like that song. It was written from a guy who was at a point of brokenness. And he was broken, and he was in a place of crying out to God, God, I'm nothing. God, I need you. I have nothing. And there, in that place of brokenness, he felt the Spirit of God speak to his heart, and it says, I call you my friend. And his life was so turned upside down. And he writes this song, who am I that you are mindful of me? And he reads this, I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. He calls me friend. You see how beautiful that is. A few years after it was written, I'm in a worship time with a bunch of teenagers. And I hear how that song is being sung. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. Nothing wrong with that song. But talking to the teenagers that were singing it, they said, wow, I'm a friend of God. Never been broken in their life. No understanding of sin. No understanding of repentance. And they're claiming something that isn't true. I'm God's friend. I'm his friend. You know, you and I have no right to say that. He has a right to say that about us. See the difference? Jesus came to his disciples and said, hey, guys, I call you my friends. He didn't go up to Jesus. Hey, Jesus, my buddy, what's happening? Sorry, man. I didn't. Sorry, a little too close there. You see the difference? You see the difference? The statement is no different. The heart, completely different. And in Mary, we see the heart that allows him to say, you highly favored one. Well, now others, I know myself many times, oh God, even my prayer time, I come with the heart of, oh, I'm a friend of God. How you doing? Lord, today, you know, I have these things going on. And I bring with my needs and my everything, and he wants all that. But if the foundation isn't there, we're just praying. We're just praying, and we're missing the relationship. When he calls us friend, that is an unbreakable bond. That is the most overwhelming thing in the world. Remember in James, what's he say? God opposes the proud, doesn't he? But gives grace to the humble. But we live in a society that if I say, you know what, I am God's, go get me a drink of water. Go get me a drink of water. Now. We live in a society. What? You okay? Does that make anyone uncomfortable? You okay? Okay. Would you hurry up? Hey. You try to get something done. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Isaiah, go get me a cup of water. Oh, never mind. He's coming. Come on, man. Unbelievable. Man, that's too cold. Go get me another one. Why am I doing this? Poor guy. You forgive me, okay? I can't even do this, okay? We know if we're okay. See, it's easy to say, God, I'm your servant. What happens when someone treats us like one? He didn't know I was going to do that. I was supposed to call beforehand, and I once did this to a girl, a teenager, and I asked her permission beforehand. I said, I'm about to share something this morning, tonight. I said, can I just, will you go with it? And whatever I tell you to do, do it. And she's like, okay. The entire time I preached, I just told her to do things. Didn't say please, didn't say thank you, didn't say anything. I was like, well, you come on, give me a cup of water. Right? Would you stand up? I don't like you sitting there. Stand up, go over there. Just straight up. And this girl, she knew it was part of the sermon. But by the end, I pulled her aside. I said, you okay? And she just wept. And she's like, I've never been through something like that. And I was like, you know that why I did that? And she's like, yeah. And she said, I'll never forget that my whole life. I was like, sorry. You know? But she's walking with the Lord deeply now. So yes, thank you, Jesus. But how are we when someone treats us like a slave? See, we live in a society where that, I have my rights. You can't say that about me. You can't do that to me. You can't say, guess what? Lord, be it unto me according to your word. See, when we have that heart with the Lord, all of a sudden it takes out a whole lot of stuff from our lives. It takes out confusion. Oh, God, what am I going to do with my life? I don't know. We're planning weeks, months, years ahead. We don't know what's going to happen. We're all tormented inside. Listen, listen, listen. We wake up in the morning. Lord, I'm your servant. Let it be unto me according to your will. And we begin to walk. Jesus said, if there's a difficulty, it takes away despair. If you are in the midst, see, it's easy to praise God. We're giving testimonies. You may have been sitting here being like, you know what? I've had a rotten week. It's great that we have some things to be thankful for. But my week, I wake up Monday morning, and I have to get my kids to school, and I have to get to work, and it's just a dread. And there's those days. But it keeps us from despair. Because what do we deserve? We deserve death and destruction. We deserve nothing because we're sinful people. But we come and we say, you know what, God, this morning I wake up before you and I'm your servant. Be it unto me according to your word. And we begin to walk. We begin to walk. What if we work hard at our job and we get fired? Were you obeying the Lord? Then, hey, just keep walking. It's not the end of the world, right? That's my brother, Angel, taught me that today. He still has his job, don't tell me. But I'm just saying, he reminded me of that fact. What if we're given a diagnosis that of some disease that's very difficult to deal with? Well, if God heals me, great. If not, Lord, I'm your servant. Be it unto me according to your word. And just walk. See how simple it is. Well, simple to say. It's how, see, I got to see a lot of patients in the hospital over the last 4 weeks. And it's amazing how I've seen people walking with the Lord, and they have some horrendous diagnoses, and they're in horrible pain. And I walk in, how you doing today? Well, how are you doing? Well, I'm doing okay. You doing okay yourself? And they begin to encourage me. And I look at their chart, and I say, they're not even asking for pain medication. What's wrong with this? And then there's other people that don't have this understanding, and they're writhing. Oh, my goodness, I'm going to die. And I'm not saying to everybody, you understand, don't hear what I'm not saying. But what I'm saying is the grace that someone can pass through such crazy difficulty and crazy pain and crazy hard things is because there's an understanding that, you know what, I'm your servant. Even Job himself. Remember Job? Job, everything was taken away from him. Everything was taken away from him. And finally, near the end, and boy, I wish we could read the whole book, but that would take a while. But near the end, Job begins to kind of assert his righteousness. Like, guys, I haven't done anything wrong to deserve this, essentially. And he starts saying like this or that or the other thing, and God shows up. God shows up, and God's like, hey, guys, were you there when I laid the foundation of the world? Were you there when I created the creatures of the deep? Were you there when I put the mountains in their places? And he just says this. And Job says the greatest thing, and I think it's one of the greatest moments in Scripture. Job says, I have spoken once, and I will not speak again. I have opened my mouth, and I will shut it. Essentially what he says. And then God continues. Because Job, he was a righteous man. But even Job hit a moment where he was overwhelmed by the greatness of God. Because when we understand how powerful and awesome, amazing God is, there's not an option anymore. God, I'm your servant. And then whatever he says, yeah, because it's better than anything I could do. God is omnipresent. It means he's everywhere. Think of that. He always was. I was reading about dark matter this week. It's a scientific idea that there's matter in the universe that we can't see, but we see the gravitational effects. It's really cool. I was reading about this week, and God was, always was. Always was. He is, and he always will be. Think about that. That is the God that you and I serve. He is so all-powerful. There's nothing that he cannot do. And when we have that view of God, the lowest servant, that's what we are by nature. And as we come to him with that heart of humility, what did he do to Jesus? He raised him up. What did he do to Mary? He said, Mary, you're going to bring my child, the Son of God, into the world. What did he do? Even, look, it's, let's read this. I'm almost done. 1 Samuel, check this out. I think it's, 1 Samuel, go to 1 Samuel. We'll find it together. Oh, good. I have my paper there. Or do I? Yeah. Oh, no. That's from last week's sermon. That was David and Goliath. Go to 1 Samuel a little bit later, after David and Goliath. Chapter 24. We won't read the whole chapter, but even David, Saul is king. Saul is king. David and Saul disobeys the Lord. David is anointed king by Samuel. He's anointed king. He knows, according to Samuel, he is going to be king. Saul is hateful, is going after his life, trying to kill him. All of a sudden, chapter 24, look at verse 2. Then Saul took 3,000 chosen men from all Israel and went to seek David and his men in front of the rocks of the wild goats. He came to the sheepfolds on the way where there was a cave. So Saul is coming after David with 3,000 men. And Saul took those 3,000 men. Sorry, I already read that. And he came to the sheepfolds on the way where there was a cave. And Saul went in to relieve himself. Now David and his men were sitting in the inner recesses of that cave. The men of David, David's men, who have been hunted with David, say this to him. He says, behold, this is the day that the Lord said to you, behold, I'm about to give your enemy into your hand, and you shall do to him as it seems good to you. Then David arose and cut off the edge of Saul's robe secretly. It came about afterward that David's conscience bothered him because he had cut off the edge of Saul's robe. So he said to his men, far be it from me because of the Lord that I should do this thing to my Lord, the Lord's anointed, to stretch out my hand against him, since he is the Lord's anointed. David persuaded his men with these words and did not allow them to rise up against Saul. Saul arose, left the cave, and went on his way. David had such an understanding of, I, be it unto me, Lord, as your will. This says this heart of, I am the servant of the Lord, that even when Saul, his enemy, who was trying to kill his life, came in, he could have killed him, been done with it with his own strength. He remembered that the Lord had anointed Saul king. Hey, I'm not going to touch him. See, it's not our responsibility to know the end that's going to happen and all those things in our lives that seem so confusing right now, to know what God is going to do. It's not our job to know that. It's our job to be obedient with the heart of a servant of God in the midst of whatever we're going through. David had a heart of a servant. He said, I'm not going to touch it. Even when he cut off the corner of the robe, he was so cut to the heart, because how dare he touch the Lord's anointed? And then a few months later, guess what? It happens again. He has a chance. Saul is laying there sleeping, and Abner says, just take his spear and shove it in his heart and let me do it. We'll be done with this. David says, no. No. And he walks. See, it's our job to be obedient to the Lord and trust him with the outcome. Mary, she was obedient to the Lord. I'm your Lord's servant. Whatever happens. She could have been stoned. She could have been rejected. We don't know what else could have happened to her. But she said, I'm here. I'm your, dare I say it, slave. But guess what? When we come like that, then God revealed in his word that he says, hey, come here, friend. When we come with the heart of pride, in James, he says, I will oppose you. So it is our choice how we come. And I know from my own experience, and some of you here are struggling with sins or temptations or just attitudes or whatever it may be, situations. The times we fall is when we are all good with Jesus. When we're like, oh, thank you, Lord, for this. It's like we become like that. Where was the parable he said of the two men in the temple? We become like the Pharisee. Thank you, God, that I'm not like this, don't have this problem. Thank you that you've helped me through this, and I don't have this, and I'm not like this tax collector, like that sinner, and like this. And then the tax collector comes in, and he says, have mercy on me, a sinner. And what did Jesus say? He says, one of them went home justified. Just one. When he came in that day, who was the better man? It would have been the Pharisee. He did all the right stuff. But before God, one was justified. And it's the one that had that same heart of humility before the Lord. Are we there? Are we there? God's still working on me. I'm going to end with a story. This, I think, is just a beautiful example. I know so much sometimes when I preach, there's stuff that I pray comes through that I don't believe words can share. And I try my best. Does that make sense? But it's something that, because the Holy Spirit is working on my heart and he's transforming me in ways, and sometimes the Holy Spirit speaks things that says with groans that are inutterable or that scripture. It kind of feels like that, but I pray you understand my heart in this. This is called From a Friend's Last Look. This book was written in 2002, and this is a story from North Korea from 2001. Kim had come home unable to speak. His mother could tell he was in shock and sat with him, soothing him and trying to find out what had happened. Finally, he began to open up to her. I was with one of my best friends today when two police officers approached us. They grabbed my friend and accused him of being a Christian. One of the officers knocked him to the ground while the other took out his gun. My friend didn't get angry or curse anyone. He didn't even try to defend himself. Even as the gun was pointed directly at him, his face remained peaceful. He looked straight into my eyes, and without speaking a word, I knew exactly what he was saying. He wanted me to believe the same thing he did. And then he just said, bless them. He was executed right in front of me because he was a Christian. I do not even know what a Christian is. I don't understand any of this. Kim's mother held his head in her hands. There were tears in her eyes. Now it was she who was in shock. She then told him simply, "I understand." "How could you possibly understand why they would kill my friend?" She slowly began to tell her son about her Lord Jesus Christ, how he had miraculously been born of a virgin and crucified on a cross to save all those who would believe in him. As she continued sharing with her eldest son, she began to sob. Now it was she who couldn't go on. She felt the pain of never daring to tell her son about Jesus Christ, lest his fate would be like that of his friend. She also felt the overwhelming joy of knowing that God had not forgotten her son, but allowed someone else to bring him the gospel. Finally, she told him, "God allowed you to witness the martyrdom of one of his brave children. As those bullets hit his heart, a seed of hope was planted in yours." The son prayed that night and received Jesus Christ into his heart. He was filled with joy as he embraced his mother and thanked her for telling him the truth. But suddenly he began to weep again and appeared distraught. Confused, the mother asked, "Now what's wrong?" "My brothers," Kim cried, "they don't know Jesus. We must tell them." His three brothers soon came home and discovered their older brother and mother crying together. Their first thought was that something terrible had happened to their father, and they quickly knelt down beside the mother asking what was wrong. With unnatural boldness, the eldest son stood up and responded, "You should also receive Jesus Christ." Before the evening had passed, all three of them had done exactly that. The mother was filled with joy. Although she had never dared to speak to her children about her Christian faith, she had diligently prayed for them every day. Now that her children had accepted Jesus, she began cautiously looking for a Bible so they could learn more of God's word, but she could not find any. Eventually, her oldest son secretly crossed the Yalu River into China in search of Bibles. You can imagine the look on his face when he finally came across a miniature Bible in the Korean language. He pleaded with the Christians in China, asking how he could obtain some of these Bibles. Regrettably, no more were available. Refusing to admit defeat, he told the Christians the dramatic story of how he had witnessed his friend's death and how he and his brothers had learned of Jesus Christ. Before departing for North Korea, he said, "I am in need of 5,000 of these Bibles to share with my family and others in North Korea. I will be back in 1 month to pick them up." Hearing of the request, some Christian workers hurriedly printed 5,000 copies of the miniature Korean Bibles. Over the next year or so, Kim returned on several occasions to smuggle the Bibles back across the border. All four of these brothers are now actively sharing their faith, knowing firsthand the consequences of if they are discovered. Since their last pickup of these Bibles, some months ago, no one has heard further news of them. Why did I read that? Because it's a perfect story of someone willing to walk as God has called them to walk, no matter what. That's really what all our lives are. We're all from different places. We all have different giftings, different talents, different ages, different situations, different backgrounds. We're all from so many different things. And God has called us to be like Mary and every day wake up in the morning and say, "Here I am, the bondservant of the Lord. Be it unto me according to your will," and begin to walk. If you're at a job that you despise, that you just don't like and you dread going there, it's okay to pray, "Lord, help me find another job. But Lord, this day, not as I will, but your will be done." And just keep walking in obedience. If you are faced with a horrible, despairing moment this week, this Christmas season, remember, it's okay to bring that to the Lord. And he wants to take those hurts and those pains and to bring it to him and then say, "Lord, not as I will, but you will be done." Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they facing the fiery furnace. Can the Lord deliver us? Of course he can. That's my God. But even if he doesn't, I will not bow to your idol. And they went into the furnace. Did God deliver them? Yeah. If he didn't, would there be no difference? No, it's fine. He's God. He would have been received his glory. But he delivered them. It's in the midst of it that we bring God glory. The great grace stories that we hear after the fact so often. But it's in the midst. Here I am. Here I am, your Lord's servant.
Crosspoint Alliance Church is a Christ-centered Acts 1-8 family. Our hope is that you heard from God today. You can be part of the Crosspoint family by praying for this ministry. You can write or send your donation to Crosspoint Alliance Church, P.O. Box 681552, Charlotte, North Carolina 28216. Or go to www.crosspointclt.org. Thanks again for joining us, and come back next week for another edition of the Crosspoint Podcast.